patrolling and trying to catch me riding dirty.
Frank. Yes, an appropriate song for this segment, but it's also, this segment is just, it's infuriating. It is sad. It is just the craziest story out of Regina. And I'm going to give you a little bit of background first before I introduce our next wonderful guest. Regina Police Service put out a news release last week urging the public to secure valuables when using public facilities. Turns out, over the past previous two weeks, police had received multiple reports of theft, including stolen vehicles from recreation facilities in the city. I think it's safe to say at this point it was the Lawson Aquatic Center where this was happening. And in the news release, it said, at this time, police believe there are up to 9 suspects involved. Wait for it. Ranging in age from 9 to 13 years old. So let me run through one of these incidents. October 2nd, 2005, 6 o'clock in the evening, police receive a call to the Lawson Aquatic Center. 4 sets of keys had been taken from an unlocked dressing room at the facility. Police found the vehicles that evening, but the youth evaded officers. The aerial support unit took over from the sky. At times, the vehicles were traveling in excess of 170 kilometers an hour within the city. That is bonkers. 170 kilometers an hour within the city. Both vehicles were located that evening. One was unoccupied. 2 youth were taken into custody from the second vehicle. Due to their age, they were released. People, you cannot be charged with a criminal offense in this country until you're 12 years old. So people are stealing cars and driving them 170 kilometers an hour through the city of Regina, but they're released because they are too young to even be charged as 12-year-olds. 9 to 13-year-olds involved in this, it is just crazy. So joining me now, and I thank her for her patience in leading up to this conversation, is Regina's acting police chief, Laura Lee Davies. Laura Lee, thank you so much for taking the time. How does one respond to this as the acting police chief when that file crosses their desk saying, oh, a 9-year-old was found in a stolen car last night? Like, what goes through your mind?
Yeah, obviously it's very concerning, you know, from a number of aspects. You know, number one, we have the initial victimization from these fitness facilities. But then, you know, we're thinking about 9 and 10-year-olds driving like that. You know, it could be anyone in the city, other users of the roadways who are really at risk when you have inexperienced drivers driving like that. I mean, it is a huge public safety concern for us. And then, you know, so we're able to catch the people responsible, but then our hands are tied because they are too young for us to do what we would normally do, which would be arrest and charge. And so, you know, it's obviously frustrating for our officers on the scene, you know, to be in a situation like that. But, you know, it just begs the larger question, you know, how do 9, 10, 11, 12 year-olds, you know, find themselves in these situations where they are putting so many people in danger.
And I should point out, including police officers in danger. There was the other incident that happened on October 7th with a vehicle that was stolen from this facility. It ended up, you know, moving into Balgoni, Melville through the course of the night, evading RCMP officers at a high rate of speed, nearly running over, allegedly, one of the officers until finally the vehicle was stopped and a 13-year-old boy was arrested. So this is the one who could actually be arrested. But okay, so let's go back to what you just said there then, Acting Chief Davies. How does a 9-year-old end up in a stolen car?
Yeah, you know, and I don't think that we have the answer to that question, unfortunately. You know, we have a lot of people in the city who, you know, trauma, you know, complex issues, you know, I think that anyone who is a parent could reasonably think, like, how could my 9-year-old be out in the middle of the night stealing cars? You know, these are situations where obviously families have experienced trauma. There's probably a lot of things on the go. Clearly, you know, these children, you know, don't have good supervision. And so, you know, I think for, you know, folks who've grown up in sort of a traditional, you know, two-parent household, this is, you know, really unthinkable. But unfortunately, for many of our families in the cities that are facing really complex issues, this isn't something that's, you know, unimaginable, unfortunately. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I completely hear you there. I don't know if I've told you this in the past, but I used to be a lifeguard for the city of Regina and working at some pools in some of the underserved neighborhoods or marginalized neighborhoods, I should say, in various ways. And, you know, the kids would come to the pool on their own quite often, you know, like an 8-year-old there watching their 6-year-old and 4-year-old sibling. And we would just let them break the rules. Okay, you don't need to have a parent next to you. Instead, we're just going to put you in a life jacket and throw you in the pool. So there are all sorts of different circumstances. So then maybe what I should be asking you, Laura-Lee, is what happens at that point then? Because surely when I read in this news release, due to their age, they were released. That's not the only thing that's happening. I imagine there's some sort of conversation, some sort of intervention. So what is happening at the police level and with your interactions with the community to make sure that that 9-year-old, that we're not just saying, I'll see you in a few years when you're old enough to be charged criminally?
Right, for sure. So, you know, obviously the criminal code only deals with people who are 12 and older. And so, you know, if somebody is under 12, it actually, for us, we rely on the Child and Family Services Act. And there's a section in there that says, you know, if you're dealing with somebody who's under 12, who, you know, if they were 12, they, you know, could be charged with a criminal offense, the peace officer has two options. One is to take custody of that child and then return that child to their parent, or, you know, take that child to someone in place of a parent. So, you know, after hours for us, that's somebody like Mobile Crisis, who is a good partner of ours, you know, in terms of, you know, at 2 a.m, what happens, you know, that's the real logistics of how that works, or, you know, finding a parent who can take custody of that child. And then, you know, sort of in the light of day, what happens is a lot of interactions with our partners at Child and Family Services or at Social Services to say, okay, like clearly whatever is happening now, that, you know, there's something isn't working. Mm-hmm. You know, how can we intervene? What does that look like? And I know we have a program here in the city called TRIP, the Regina Intersectoral Partnership. So it's a multi-sector arrangement where we have people from police, social services, justice, health, both school boards. And it's really collaboratively working together with kids who are at an acutely elevated risk, which I would suggest these kids certainly would be, and then figuring out what can we do to offer them services, their family services, what, you know, have they fallen through the cracks in certain areas, and how can we work to sort of build that social safety net back up. And so, you know, for some of these kids, that's going to work, and in other situations, you know, it might not. And so, you know, there's, I think, a lot of conversations happening between us, with TRIP, with social services, to try and figure out what we can do to prevent further instances like this, which obviously are very dangerous.
If you're just joining us, I'm Tamara Cherry in for former Police Chief Evan Bray, speaking with current Acting Chief of Regina Police Service, Laura-Lee Davies, about 9 to 13-year-olds, 9 youth ranging in age from 9 to 13 years old, allegedly stealing cars, driving them around very dangerously, upwards of 170 kilometers an hour within the city. And Acting Chief Davies, I wonder what role, I mean, you mentioned TRIP, what role beyond those sorts of partnerships should police be playing in intervening at this point? Because, I mean, I don't need to tell you this, but perhaps members of the public might need a reminder that police are being asked to wear a lot of hats these days, an increasing number of hats these days. Should it be to police to sit down with this 9-year-old and say, look, kid, I don't want to see you in handcuffs in 3 years from now when you're old enough to be charged. And I don't want to see you dead in 6 years from now, because that might be where you are heading as well. Or should it be somebody in the community who's having those conversations, or should it be everybody around the same table?
Yeah, you know, and I think that that last point is the key, is that it needs to be everybody. You know, I expect that our officers that are out there are having those conversations. You know, whether or not that child is receptive to that conversation is another story, you know. Sometimes they'll just swear at them and tell them to shut up, right? So, you know, I'm sure that we are having those conversations to say, you know, look, like, you're headed down a path that doesn't have a good outcome. But I think it's conversations with the family, with the parents, you know, are there extended family members, you know, that can get involved? And then, you know, beyond the police role is that we need our partners to also be involved. So if that is social services, if it's schools, you know, if the kids are attending school, but really it needs to be all hands on deck, right? Because if we can't intervene and help these kids now and get them down a better path, then, you know, there's certainly only tragedy ahead.
Yes. I want to continue this conversation, but with Acting Chief of Police in Regina, Laura Lee Davies. But Laura Lee, I'm going to ask you to just hold on the line for a few minutes. We're going to go to break, and then we're going to return to this after the break. And I'd encourage our listeners, send in your thoughts. I'm keeping an eye on the text line, 1-877-332-8255. Very important conversation we're having here on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.
Running down the railway track, could you help me? Police on my back.
Welcome back to the Evan Bray Show. If you're just joining us, I'm Tamara Cherry in for Evan Bray, and in conversation with Regina Police Service Acting Chief Laura Lee Davies, talking about a string of thefts, including vehicles being stolen and driven at ridiculously fast speeds, allegedly nearly hitting an RCMP officer at one point, by 9 to 13-year-olds. And I'm Acting Chief Davies, I'm seeing a bunch of text messages come in. Dawn in Saskatoon writing, parents need to be held responsible for their children. That's the only way. Mark from Drinkwater writing in, I think all young offenders should have their names posted when a crime is committed. The only way they're going to learn and their parents are going to learn is if their neighbors know who they are and who to watch out for. I don't necessarily agree with you there, Mark. And George and Regina, are these kids being, quote, coached, or are these perpetrators just doing it for fun? That's a good question for you, Acting Chief Davies. What do you know about these circumstances?
Yeah, I mean, as much as we know, we think it's a group of these young kids that are doing it for fun. So, you know, we haven't seen sort of that connection to, you know, a larger gang or anything along those lines at this point. So, you know, I think that unfortunately it's a case of opportunity presents itself and they're taking advantage of it, obviously in a way that's very dangerous.
Yeah. Let's talk about the opportunity presenting itself. Because you guys point out in this news release, 4 sets of keys were taken from an unlocked dressing room at a facility in Regina. Who's not locking their locker? I don't know. But I mean, there's an obvious message here, right?
For sure. Absolutely. So the bulk of these incidents have happened at recreation facilities in the city. So think swimming pools, think arenas, think places where you're leaving your property in a locker or in a cubby or something along those lines, and that people can walk in and just have access. So we really are urging people to lock up keys. If you have a locker, lock the lock. If you're using a dressing room, make sure that dressing room is locked up when you're not there. Don't leave purses, wallets, keys laying around, because unfortunately they are taking advantage of every opportunity that presents itself. And I know that is crappy to tell people you need to make yourself less of a victim, but the reality in this situation is that if, you know, these kids don't have access to keys, then they're not stealing those vehicles. So I just want everybody who is using these recreation facilities in our city to be extra diligent right now to ensure that we're not leaving keys that will end up in the hands of these young kids.
Yeah. Acting Chief Davies, I wonder, I'm reading a text message from Randy in Warman who's writing, these youths in Regina need to be held accountable. If not their parents or whomever they taught them, whoever taught them this type of behavior, this is unbelievable and it's not society's fault whatsoever. I mean, what do you say to that? Because for your intents and purposes, you have the criminal code. That's what you and your officers work with to hold people accountable. You're 9, 10, 11 years old. You're not old enough to be held accountable in that way. But I mean, these are also kids who have, lots of them probably haven't even gone through puberty yet. How do you or should you be holding these kids accountable, or should it immediately be going to the parents or whoever's care they're in?
Yeah, well, I mean, we can only work within the legislation that we have currently. So the criminal code does not apply to anybody who is under 12. So there, they cannot be criminally charged at all. You know, the Child and Family Act obviously speaks to what we can do if we find somebody committing an act if they would have been 12, like if they could have been charged. And basically, that legislation says we need to turn them over to a parent or someone in place of a parent. And so that's why we have a strong relationship with the Ministry of Social Services. You know, I appreciate the comments about holding the parent, making the parents pay, but there is currently no remedy for that to happen. You know, we can't go take them, drop them off at mom and dad's house and put mom and dad in handcuffs and take them into custody. Like that's just not something that is possible under legislation. And so I appreciate the frustration because, you know, everyone else is sort of having to pay for these incidents. But unfortunately, from a policing perspective, there isn't anything that we can do to hold them accountable outside, like I said, of turning them over to either their parents or someone who is acting in place of a parent.
Unless the worst happens, you know, if one of those RCMP officers, God forbid, was hit and killed, I imagine there could potentially be like criminal negligence causing death. For parents not watching their kid. I mean, I don't know. I'm just a civilian, but unfortunately, sometimes we have to get to the really serious, awful things before we can hold people to account in some ways. Anyway, Acting Chief of Regina Police Service, Laura Lee Davies, thank you so much. This was a really last-minute request, and I appreciate you making the time to talk about this important issue.
My pleasure to be here. Thank you.
Okay. Have a wonderful day. I'm Tamara Cherry in for Evan Bray. We've got more coming up after the news here on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.